My friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. It seems as though when people die, folks have a whole host of ideas of what happens. There are lots of stories and theories and explanations and ideas about the whole experience. The problem is nobody can come back and tell us what really is true. And some folks, they say, well, when you die, that's it. You're dead. Nothing more to say. Others believe in rather elaborate schemes about life after death. Some talk about hovering spirits and ghostly presences and folks who have died or watching down upon us. In my years of ministry, I've heard and seen lots of ideas and reactions to death and dying. But if the truth be known, a good number of us struggle to get a handle on what it all means. Lots of folks have died in my family over the years. Some died when it seemed appropriate. Others died at the end of a long and very fulfilled life. For those who died too early, however, it was about life being cut short, inappropriate. No matter when or what happens, when death comes into life, it's always an intrusion. It always causes me more questions than it gives me answers. I started this part of my faith journey very early on. I was privileged to know both sets of my grandparents, and they were intimately a part of my life. In my growing up years, there wasn't a day, maybe two, that went by in which I didn't have some encounter with my grandparents. And probably why today I have trouble with my blood sugar, but every Friday I had a strawberry soda with my grandmother who came in to town from the ranch. And every day after school, I stopped with my to have a cup of tea with my English grandmother, and she always had a cookie for me. When they died, one of them died when I was a teenager. The others died in my adult life. But I had to come to terms with their dying. I had to come to terms with their death. While I deeply grieved their death, early on I knew there was something else that I could hold on to. Not about an end so much, not about drawing a curtain and that was it, but there was something more. Not that I had studied or learned, but I experienced an understanding of death early on because it was lived out in my family. It was lived out in the faith community that I belonged to. I saw and experienced tears and loss. I also heard and saw that as Christians, as people of faith, there was something you could hold on to. There was hope. One day, I seemed to begin to understand that I would know the reality of the words I was hearing, that eventually I realized that the words I was speaking, not that I would ever get it completely or ever come close to comprehending it, but even now, it is a journey of an emerging understanding of what this end of life is all about. But in the eyes and faithful witness of the faithful, my family, congregational people who have surrounded me, I continue to be rest assured in the faith reality that death is not the end, but there is more. Maybe a beginning of something brand new. And it played, all of this played, a role in a gestation in me of hope. I relished singing songs. It helped me understand heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. Huh? I liked it. It was important for me and for the kids I sang it with to get a sense of what it was all about. And then I remember lavishing in the words of the old hymn, O Day Full of Grace. When we on that final journey go, that Christ is for us preparing, we'll gather in song our hearts aglow, all joy of the heaven sharing. And there we will join God's endless praise with angels and saints adoring. And although I didn't grow up singing it, I've learned in these years to lean into the chorus that goes, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." It is a journey. I've learned to live in the words of Jesus, which say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life." And Paul's words in Romans that say, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what does this all mean? What does this afterlife, what does this conversation about resurrection have to do with you and for me? Do we believe it? And what do we mean by it if we do believe it? Is it about heaven? And what in the world is heaven? Or is it about getting a ticket to some kind of eternal bliss? Or is it just a salve to soothe an indescribable sorrow when someone we love dies? Or is it just a philosophical construct of some kind of obscure theological concept invented to somehow ease the pain of loss? But in reality, what we've been taught and what we've experienced is that this thing we call resurrection is a promise of new life with Jesus, a promise of being alive in life and in death, to know that in resurrection, death loses its power in the face that Jesus promises us by His own resurrection. Easter morning, the proclamation of that day was that Jesus was no longer present in the tomb. When the women came to look for Him, what was the response? "He is not here. He has risen." He is, in that very moment, no longer dead, but alive. As He revealed Himself to the disciples, as He revealed Himself to Mary in the garden, and in one of the Gospels it says He revealed Himself to scores before He ascended into heaven. In the creeds we proclaim, according to the testimony of Scripture, on the third day He rose again, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe in life everlasting, to which we might say, Amen. Really. In the Gospels, Jesus had told those around Him that He was on His way to Jerusalem. He told them that He was going to suffer and He was going to be put to death. But He said very specifically, on the third day, He would rise again. You remember that poignant exchange on the cross? Jesus was hanging there and a thief asked Him to remember Him when He came into His kingdom. And do you remember what Jesus' response was? "Today. Today you'll be with me in paradise." So that leads us to the gospel. Jesus was often in argumentative kind of situations with people who were against Him. And in this particular gospel reading, there were the Sadducees, who were an aristocratic clan of religious leaders and scholars. And they were pretty open about what they believed about resurrection. Because unlike their Pharisee counterparts, the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. On the other hand, in lots of Jewish circles, there were those who did believe in the resurrection. In the writings of the and in the prophets of the Old Testament, they believed and others believed, and they saw a very clear kind of belief in resurrection. They believed in the promise of eternal life with God. But you see, the Sadducees only claimed the first five books of the Old Testament as their scripture. And as they read and studied those first five books, they didn't see a place where resurrection was spoken about. And so they wanted to trick Jesus to find out where He was coming from, whether He did really believe in resurrection. And so this idea of the brothers marrying a wife of their deceased brother was a very accepted, it was called levirate marriage. And Jesus, as He heard their example, set it aside, a rather absurd example, And he said to them in the gospel reading this morning, those who belong to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And notice what he says in the very last verse of the gospel today. Now, he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. So, resurrection. This idea of heaven and living with God forever is not about necessarily this life. It's not about replaying this life in a different environment. Scripture says the old is gone, the new has come. The life promised beyond the grave, this resurrected life that is promised to those who follow Jesus, is so radically new. It is so impossibly, unthinkably beyond our most fervent of imaginations that we should take seriously Jesus' promise when he says to make all things new. It's not a replay of this life, but it's brand new. And once again, it's not about what you and I might do to make sure we get there, that we can make sure our balance sheets are full. You see, resurrection has nothing to do with whether or not your dead brother has a viable legacy of offspring. But resurrection reality has everything to do with trusting in God's future. Trusting in God's future, which empowers us to live today. To live in response to the wonder of God's love. Resurrection today is about living in the decisions that you and I make in our work, in our relationships, about the others who are lost or disenfranchised or powerless, those who have lost hope. You see, in addition, resurrection means that even when we die, the reality of God's love for all, in that death, we are alive. I can't always get my brain around that. But from the depth of my being, I believe my forever future is bound together with God, alive. It truthfully is God's future. And so the promise of this thing called resurrection is hope. The old hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And hope. Hope is grounded in Jesus. Hope is grounded in God's gift of undeserved grace that claims us as His own, claims us right now, claims us always. It's hope that puts the promise at the center of our life, and it's hope that allows us to live and to sing and to believe it is well with our soul. It is well. Because Jesus came, born among us. It is well because Jesus, by His death and resurrection, destroyed the power of death and destroyed the devil. It is well because of new life promised by God in Jesus is the grace-filled exploration of life that you and I live each and every day. It is well because in Jesus and in His resurrection there is hope. And hope gives us the promise, even more, gives us the reality of a new life. When these days are gone, we are united with Jesus forever. You see, that's why we can sing, "It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Amen. We stand together.